Blog Talk Radio.
From everyone else who can only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness back when she saw the best in me. I guess I'm the only one that's the best on me. When everyone else around me can only see the worst in me. When I tell y'all one more time, I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yeah. Mama said you would never be nothing.
when Aunt B's and Uncle says that you never amount to anything, when Daddy didn't come home anymore, he looked at you and said that you ain't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see? Oh, yes, is there anybody in here tonight that's so very thankful that God did not write you off, that he did not throw you away, that he picked you up? Ah, and he knows. What did he see? I said, 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 what did he see?
Oh, the bed. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Can I sing the verse one time? Just a minute, y'all. I love this. I love this. Jesus is mine, and I'm his. It doesn't matter what I do, but he only sees me who I am. Ooh, Lord. Yeah. He's my life. It doesn't matter what I do, he only sees me who I am. Sing it one time, go nobody. He is my love.
He is my
life. He only sees me but
he only sees me
for who I am. So the one who sees me for who I am, because he created me in his image and his likeness. He's mine.
I am his. It doesn't matter what I mean. He only sees me.
Who all know God, he sees the best in us. I don't care what other folks have said. I don't care what other folks think. God sees the best in you, and you not to know that. You need to know you're more concerned about what God sees in you than what your neighbor sees in you. You're more concerned about what God got to say about you than what your friends got to say about you. You're more concerned about God's stuff for you than what your neighbors have for you. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're so happy to have each and every one of you all. This is Thankful Thursday. Hallelujah. I'm sure everybody out there got a lot to be thankful for, and you do have things to be thankful for, and I thank God for you. Hallelujah. But if you want to comment on something, hallelujah. The computer running a little hot today, but you know that ain't stopping nothing here today. Hallelujah. We thank God for it, the good, bad, and the ugly. So if you want to be thankful for something, just press one and we'll let you in. Meanwhile, we're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Evangelist William, if she'll be so kind to give us a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get into Thankful Thursday and get back into this lesson. Hallelujah.
Yes, Pastor. Father God, I'd like to start out by thanking Pastor Beasley for having this program for your children, my brothers and sisters, to all listen to, and to walk more in your line of faith. And I'd like to give thanks for today. I'd like to ask you to keep Pastor Bill wrapped in your blood as she travels, and make sure she have safe travels home. Father God, I'd like to thank the ones that's called in, that's listening in, and ask them to continue to be part of the program. I ask that you bless the sick and shut in, the homeless, the needy, and just take care of us at this time in our lives. We need you more than we ever have needed you, Lord. And I would like to thank you for extending your hand to us to just take hold of and walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Evangelist William. Well, we said we're going to start back on Revelation 12 and 9. Anyone thankful for something, just press 1 and we'll get to you. And if not, we're going to continue on with the broadcast. Hallelujah. In Revelation 12 and 9, okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's get this one. This Evangelist Renee. Praise God.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Like I'd like to thank Sister Williams for the beautiful prayer. And I thank Pastor Beasley for this program. It's just wonderful that we could call in and listen to the Word of God, share the Word of God, speak about it. I just love it. I thank the Lord for this program. I thank the Lord for blessing me. Tomorrow, I will be 62. I know probably in y'all's book I'm still a baby. I thank the Lord because he is good. He didn't have to let me see 62 or 61 and a half. I was born a preemie in 1961, and preemies didn't live back then. They didn't have the technology they have now. So I thank the Lord. He is mighty good. He's keeping me here for a reason. I don't know what the reason is, but he does. I'm sure it will be revealed. And I just thank everyone for all their prayers and the blessings. I just thank him. He's good all the time, and all the time he is good. Amen.
Amen. Evangelist Renee, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone else? I love it. Thrive, just don't survive. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm going to talk to today, but I'm going to tell you this. Take advantage. Don't let it pass you, brother and sister. Don't let the opportunity pass you. Look at everything as a blessing. Don't cheat yourself out of what God have given us. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I said I was going to go back to Revelation, so let me start back there. We'll start with Revelation and 12, and I don't know, I think we did 9 through 12. Let's see here. We're going to do Revelations 12, verses 9 through 12. Also, for those that have your Bibles, we're going to add another scripture, and that's going to be in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and I don't know how many other verses God say. But we're going to start with Revelations 12, and normally I get into about the book of Revelation, tells the things that have happened, things that is happening, and the things that's going to happen. It's Revelation is unfolding. It's like revealing stuff. That's what the book of Revelation, there was a time people didn't want you to teach or preach out of it, but God have always wanted us to have the revelation. My first sermon I ever preached was out the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, but that's a whole nother story there. But God always, and that's 50 years ago, okay? But God always wanted us to have revelation knowledge. He wants us to know this stuff, okay? Satan is the one that don't want us to know this, okay? So we're going to start with, because, see, there's a war going on in heaven. You got to understand, there was a war and still wars going on even with us. So in the ninth verse, it says, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he know that he have but a short time. Amen.
Amen. Revelations 12:9-12, Messenger Bible reads, the great dragon, ancient serpent, the one called devil and Satan, the one who led the whole earth astray, thrown out and all his angels thrown out with him, thrown down to earth. Then I heard a strong voice out of heaven saying, salvation and power are established, kingdom of our God, authority of his Messiah. The accusers of our brothers and sisters thrown out, who accused them day and night before God. They defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness. They weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. So rejoice, O heaven, and all who live there, but doomed on earth and sea. For the devil's come down on you with both feet. He had a great fall. He's wild and raging with anger. He hasn't much time, and he knows it. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. And the next, and so last week, well, yesterday, we were talking about your tests. See, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. Oh, I got some receipts for you now. I got some receipts for you. You're going to be tested. And that's why we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 12. But let me tell you, Satan coming down because he's our adversary. That's what 1 Peter says. See, 1 Peter says he's your adversary. He coming for the attack. And I like to think he coming for you. Listen, brothers and sisters, don't get it twisted. Satan coming for you. Uh-oh. Y'all bear with me for a minute here. Satan coming for you, okay? He is coming for us. And you have to know that every awakening moment, every opportunity Satan gets, he's coming for you. I don't care if he's coming for you when you're at home. You go to the grocery store. Doesn't matter, he's coming for you. If you decide to make a phone call, he's coming for you. Because his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming for you. You want to try to be nice, and you think you'll call somebody and think the phone call going to go, you know, okey-doke. Hey, brothers and sisters, Satan coming for you. Just want you to know. Be alert. Pay attention. Because Satan is wise, but not wise as God. He is not all-knowing. He knows, you know, how to do tricks. He knows how to call harm. He knows how to call conflicts. See, but he is not omnipotent. God is omnipotent. He's all power. Satan is limited to his power, okay? So I just want you to know that. God is all-knowing. And yes. That is important that we understand that. Because as we talk here, I want you to know he's coming for you, okay? But Satan tests us, but he didn't define us. Somebody ought to hear me right about now. I said Satan will test us, but that don't have to define you. See, a lot of time I think about Evangelist Renee. You know, her, something happened to her feet, but that didn't define her. That was her test.
Amen.
So because you get a bump in the road, that doesn't define, that's just your test. How you going to handle your test is what's important. So over in I went two places, but in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read it anyway. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 12, if I can get this up here, 2 Corinthians 12, I said I was going to start at verse 9, but I'm going to back up because I want you all to get the meat of the story here. Let's see, I'm going to start with the 7th verse. And I sought, and I should be exalted above measure. You know, that's what Satan does. He tried to get you exalted. He tried to get you caught up in pride. But we'll go to that in a moment. He says, and this is 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me as a thorn in the flesh the message of Satan to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproach, okay, in necessities, in persecution, in stress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I became a fool in glory, and yet have complete me. For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind. Chiefest apostle, though I be nothing. And that's the 11th verse. So I read from, from the 7th verse through the, yes.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, Messenger Bible read, because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given a gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angels did his best to get me down, when he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. And then he told me, my grace is enough, is all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I've heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. it was a case of Christ moving in on my weakness. Now I take my limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accident, oppositions, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I got, the stronger I became. Well, now I've done it. I've made a complete fool of myself by going on like this. But it's not all my fault. You put me up to it. You should have been doing this for me, sticking up for me and commanding me instead of making me do it for myself. You know from personal experience that even if I'm a nobody, a nothing, I wasn't second-rated compared to those big-shot apostles you're so taken with. Amen, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Evangelist William. See, Satan is the god of this world, brothers and sisters, and he blinds the minds of them. Now remember, please remember, Satan tried to hinder God's work. That's what he does. So through Paul, God had given him this revelation, this gift of being able to discern things. I just wish I had a moment here. He could discern. And let that be a lesson for us. You got to be able to discern, brothers and sisters. You're living at a time now. Huh? You better discern everything. Because everything that comes to you, oh, I got some receipts now. Yes, sir. I got some receipts for you today. You got to be able to grasp. You got to be able to comprehend everything that's shining ain't new money. Yes, sir.
Amen.
You got to be able to know that every hello and how you doing is good. Some of that in the midst of that just to get your attention. Look at this world today.
Yes.
Hi. And the next word is, can you get letters? They don't care about that. They don't care about you. They don't care what your finances are. They're too busy trying to get your money. Con and scheme they do, so you got to be able to discern. You got to have the ability to understand the inner quality of what's really going on. You got to have some insight. Paul understood this. He had some insight. He knew God had given him this gift for revelation. This revelation knowledge, God had given it to him, and he didn't want to misuse it. He didn't want to abuse it. You know, we was talking the other day about the gifts. A lot of times people don't appreciate their gifts. They take that and that becomes their downfall. That's what happened with Satan. It's the ability to be sensitive to what's really going. I think discernment is having intelligence. It's a different level of intelligence. You know, it's like you're able to perceive things. You know, perception.
Yeah.
I wish I had time today. You got to understand perception, man. How Satan views itself. You got to have that wisdom to perceive that. He'll use everything. I'm reminded of something, and I'm going to move on. But a pimp, you got to be able to understand what a pimp does. He takes it, and we go, oh, boy, that show is nice. He bought her a new fur coat. Oh, man, look at that beautiful dress. He gives her money. He do this, that, and the third. What's really going on here? Because the day is going to come when he's going to want payback. Baby, I don't have no more money. I don't have this. I don't have that. Can you help a brother? Well, no, I don't have it. Well, you know, you got your body. Use that. See, you got to be able to discern things. You think that man that throwing that fish over the boat to feed the fish? No. He got a net under there. And as soon as he get enough fish, he yanked that net. Got to be able to discern, man. See, there's power in discernment. Oh, I got some receipts here. There's power in discernment. There's power in the insight of things, or wisdom, if you will. And yes. and Paul had the insight because he had the revelation. He had the revelation about who Jesus Christ was. Hallelujah. I wish I'd get somebody else would get a little revelation about who Christ is. I wish somebody get the revelation that it ain't about going to church. It's about being the church. I wish somebody get a little revelation here of who you really are and not what folks say you are, even though they don't see the best in you. God saw the best in you. He sees the best in you. Mm. All they see is what your past have been. They have no idea what your future is. Even though Satan tests you, that doesn't define you. I wish I had somebody to pray with me right about now. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, whatever you've been through, and however you've been through it, it doesn't define who you are as far as God is concerned. Because God said, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world.
Yes.
That's what's really going on. You want to know what's really going on. You got to be able to discern, brothers and sisters. Everybody that's shaking your hands and talking about high-five and fist-bumping you and giving you all these lights, them the same one can't wait till you leave so they can find a way to break in your house and get your stuff or tell their friends.
Yeah.
This the same one that don't really want you to have the promotion. You got to be able to discern this stuff. Hey, you got to be able to discern that every girlfriend, every boyfriend you have, they don't wish the best for you. They're trying to understand what he sees in her that he don't see in me. See, they don't understand that. They're trying to say, well, you know what? You mean she all of that?
Yes.
And mark me when I tell you. They don't have your best interests. They trying to see how they can go behind you and get what you got. You have to be careful. You have to be able to discern that even though, oh, honey, let me come over to your house and let me do this. They're there for other reasons. You got to be able to see that. You got to be able to discern that kind of stuff. You got to be able to pay attention to that kind of stuff, you know.
Amen, amen.
Oh, I got some paper for you. Believe that. You got to be able to see that stuff. You got to be able to know that, listen, brothers and sisters, Satan wants to exalt you. That's what he tries to do. He gets you caught up in pride. So sometimes you got to be able to pray. You got to be able to talk to God about certain things. So that's what Paul did.
Yes.
I shall be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelation I have, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now I'm going to tell you what this thorn was. I know a lot of people, they said the thorn was this, the thorn was that. He had a limp. He had some kind of major injury, and God put that on him. Tell folks to stop telling that lie. That ain't what happened, brothers and sisters. It just read what it said. It was a messenger. So to me, that was Satan coming, because that's what he said it was. He told you what it was. The thorn that was in his flesh was a messenger that came from Lucifer. And what he tried to do was to test him, to get him above measure, if you would. So Satan... brought all of this garbage. You know, boy, you got revelation knowledge about Christ. Nobody see it like you see it. Nobody understand it like you understand it. You understand that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You understand that it's Christ Jesus and not Jesus Christ. You understand that God has made us perfect in him. See, folks, they weren't getting that revelation, but Paul, you got it.
Yeah.
He said, for this now thing, I think I better go and talk to the Lord. See, it's some things you need to go talk to the Lord about. It's some things you need to really talk to God about. Yeah, and I'm being real serious right now. Don't you marry everything that smiles in your face. You know, don't fall in love with every man that tells you they love you. See, there are some things that you need to take it to the Lord. And he said he went three times. I mean, he was really serious about this thing, because if he wasn't, he wouldn't have went three times. He went three times today about it. I mean, he was there early in the morning. Thing was on his mind. So right at lunchtime, he talked to God about it. And he still ain't heard from heaven. It's something, boy, you've been talking to God all along, and now he ain't talking back. It's something going on. I mean, can you imagine? You've been with your loved one, and usually y'all smile and have breakfast, and y'all talk, and y'all smile. And now all of a sudden they ain't talking. It's something wrong. It's something seriously wrong now. It's lunchtime. We ought to be talking. We ought to be communicating. And here it is late in the evening, and you still ain't talking to me. And finally, the Spirit said to him, Paul, I heard you this morning. I heard you at lunchtime, and I hear you now. Yeah. But here's what you need to understand. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes you can't see this stuff till you get weak. That's when you began to see the blessings of God. Preach, I'm trying to do the best I can. That's when you began to see the blessings of God. It's when you get weak and you can't hardly make it. I told the Lord I'm going to do this. Lord, I'm weak. That's when you got to call on him. Stay there until grace get there. I wish I could preach right now. When grace get there, everything seemed to make it all right.
Yes.
It's grace that will cause the jailer to let Paul and Silas go. It was grace that caused the judge to reduce the sentence. It's grace that opened that door nobody else could open. It was grace that said, when everybody else said that you wasn't going to get the house, grace opened the door, and it was paid for before you could even get in it. That's grace.
Yeah. Amen.
It was grace that while you were so weak and you could hardly make it and pick yourself up, everybody else counted you for dead. It was grace. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put another 100 pounds on you. I wish I had somebody know what I'm talking about right now. See, it's grace that when you came out the operating room, it was grace who took you in there, and it was grace that made you, that brought you out. Let me tell you, brother and sister, infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon. You better take those infirmities. You better take what's bad and understand it's good, that God is working it together for your good. It's necessary that God take your weak stuff and make you strong. You're going to be persecuted. So that's what Paul was saying. He said, I take pleasure in it, man. So when you get sick or something ain't going your way, understand, take pleasures in your infirmities, in reproaches. Yes. Know that it's necessary. When they persecuting you and telling you what you ain't going to do and what you couldn't do, take pleasure in it. Do it for Christ's sake. But when you are weak, then are you strong. I wish I had somebody to understand. But I got some receipts here. I mean, I got paper here. Let me leave this alone. Listen, brothers and sisters. preach. I'm trying to do the best I can. You got to use the spirit of discernment. You got to know who's really in your corner. If they ain't saying what the word of God is saying, they ain't in your corner. If God calling you blessed and they calling you cursed, no accuser. God see the goodness in you. He ain't looking for the bad. I don't care what the mind tells you. Look for the good in a person. You know, you get these vibes and say, you know what, she ain't this and she ain't that and she ain't what. No, brother, sister, listen. Go by what the word of God says. Some people, they take it on. They ain't discern right. Because you can discern things wrong. You know that, right? You can discern things wrongly. That's why the Bible says rightly divide the word of truth in 2 Timothy 3. See, you got to rightly divide this thing because you can wrongly divide it. So when you're discerning, make sure it's revelation knowledge. The revelation of Jesus Christ. God means the best for you. God has the best for you. See, God don't see you like your neighbor see you. God don't even see you like your ex see you. You ought to be glad God don't see you like your ex see you. You ought to be glad God don't see you like some of your enemies see you.
Amen.
And when you think some of them same friends was your enemy, when you see how they see you, they look at you as a sinner. And God don't see you like that. He see you saved. They may look
Amen.
At you like you weak, but God see you strong. That's how he see you. Even, even when you down and out, God see you standing up. See, all they see is agony, but God see accomplishment. All they see is a the benefit, but God see you as a benefactor. All they see you is in crisis, but God sees you in the conclusion.
Amen.
All
Amen.
They see you is down, but God see you up. All they see you is fading away, but God see you in God's favor. All they see you is in heaven, but God see you in holiness. Don't get what they say. Because, see, he know what the enemy come to do. He don't come down on earth, and he want to get you. He after you. But I'm going to leave it there. Anybody else have anything they want to share? No. Because y'all mess around here and make me want to preach today. Anybody have anything they want to share today? Any testimonies, anything else? I know Evangelist Renee, she got us going. Every time I said, sister, get up in here. She makes something in me want to jump out and preach this thing. Anybody else?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. Just press one. Hallelujah. Anybody? Okay. Well, hey, brothers and sisters. We'll see you all on tomorrow for the word.